All right, Ian Trottier here, Discuss Your Truth, doing a doubleheader on a Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. Please pass the message on. We are in unprecedented times. There's simply no doubt about it. The ridiculous mask mandates and this vaccine passport push by the current administration. Folks, if you don't stand up to this and you don't make your voice heard, then your freedoms will be gone. They'll be gone. You will no longer be able to speak your mind. You'll no longer be able to write what you want to write. This is all happening. You can uncover some of my recent work. You can look at the angle that I'm approaching it from. I ask you to prove me wrong. IanTrottier.com, and just click on Remember the Alamo. Just go to the tab. It says Remember the Alamo. That gives you the history that I've dug up recently, and it brings in some really critical and crucial angles for your consideration. The Constitution is being destroyed, and Paul Craig Roberts said on this show probably 3 years ago, Ian, Americans no longer have any constitutional rights. And after that 9/11 debacle, those rights have been slowly. And so Michael Ferris and Tony Edis, two former veterans, Tony, a Purple Heart, these guys are fighting to be able to get on an airplane without a mask. Medical exemption. One guy's got a handicapped exemption letter. Yet, as veterans, they're being treated. One guy gets put on a terror watch list. This is mad. This is insanity. It's gone too far. It's gone too far. So that's why it's up to people like you and me. It's up to people like you and me to keep these freedoms intact. To keep the Constitution alive. Demand transparency in D.C. Now we're going to shift gears. We're going to bring on Lisa Logan, who has been a stalwart fighter to try to bring education back to the education system in the United States and get past some of these ridiculous theoretical approaches to education, like what's it called? Critical race theory. Let's bring on Lisa Logan, get her angle here. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Logan. You've tuned in to Discuss Your Truth. This is Ian Trottier.
Hello, Ian.
Lisa, good afternoon to you. Thanks for taking your time to join the program. Lisa, take a moment and introduce yourself for listeners.
I am Lisa Logan. I am a mom of three. I live in Utah. And my main focus has been fighting social emotional learning and the agenda that comes with it.
Okay, so what's the agenda that comes with it, Lisa?
Well, it's really a Trojan horse for critical race theory, comprehensive sex education, globalized citizenship education initiatives like climate change, social justice activism, all of those things. And it basically is repackaged in a program that appears like it's around to help students cope with their emotions and get better regulatory skills and have just great social emotional health, but that's really not what its purpose is.
It sounds like just like you say, a Trojan horse. Now, Lisa and I met at an event in Salt Lake City. It's been probably a month now, close to a month, and interestingly enough, about that same time, I think it was the Wednesday after the weekend of that event, I had Anthony Sabatini on my show. He's a politician in Florida, and you've recently engaged with Anthony yourself, Lisa. Can you talk about that a minute?
Yeah, that's correct. I went out to Washington D.C. about a week and a half ago. To do a presentation about social emotional learning for FreedomWorks there. And he was there talking about school choice and voucher programs and what he's doing in Florida to also protect students and their families from these harmful agendas.
So talk about what the public education system is like in Utah and the effects that what you're doing is having. It sounds, Lisa, like you're doing great work. Talk a little bit about those efforts.
Well, thank you. I just started. I have one child in a charter school, and I have two children in public school. They had shifted away from the charter school and started attending public school. And I just had started going to the board meetings, you know, just trying to be a concerned parent. There's lots of other issues I was concerned about, and reading the agendas of those board meetings. And I saw a couple words that kind of stuck out to me, and those were implicit bias and microaggressions. And I knew enough about critical race theory to kind of have some, you know, alarms go off when I saw those two words. And in that same slideshow, they were talking about social emotional learning, and specifically the program that they were using called Second Step. And so kind of been an investigative journalist my whole life. I research all sorts of things. When I'm interested in a topic, I can tell you all about the O.J. Simpson trial or the JFK assassination, but in this case...
Ooh, talk about that, Lisa. Talk about that. No, I'm sorry to
Oh, no. That would be much longer conversation, Ian, than you'd probably have tape for on your show. But, so, you know, when I came across social-emotional learning, I just started looking into it, right? I just started with Second Step, and I looked at their website before I even looked at the curriculum itself, and I was like, they have a anti-bias and anti-racial resource page. And I started digging into some of those resources, realized it's heavily into critical race theory terminology and concepts. And they stated on there that they subscribe to Castle's new definition of transformative SEL. So I was like, well, what's that? So who is Castle? And CASEL stands for the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning. And they are the organization that sets the five core competencies or standards by which all SEL programs are measured against. So some states won't even adopt social emotional learning programs that aren't CASEL approved. And in 2020, amidst the global pandemic and, you know, the racial riots and all the stuff that was going on, they kind of quietly updated their core competencies and their definition of social emotional learning to be transformative SEL, which is basically social emotional learning done through an equity lens. And when they say equity, they don't mean equality. They mean equal outcomes. And a lot of their white papers from really the last few years read like they could have come from Karl Marx, the Communist Manifesto. And they're against capitalism. They want to divide everybody by race. They talk about wealth and whiteness and all sorts of horrible things. Just, it's very racist. And so you started digging into, okay, well, who funds CASEL? And it came to light that basically the same people who funded Common Core and got Common Core into the system, including here in Utah, also were the same people behind funding and getting social emotional learning into our system. So I started coming to board meetings and started saying, hey, look at CASEL, look at Second Step, and look what they subscribe to. And didn't really get much traction until, interestingly enough, right before I gave a huge presentation about the subject for Utah Parents United, a middle school teacher resigned over having to teach this curriculum. And you would think to yourself, well, what is this, you know, devoted father? I mean, he was one of those teachers at school where everyone kind of waited to get their kid into his class. He was a choir teacher and a very devout Christian man. And he left his dream job over having to teach this curriculum. And you think to yourself, why? Well, goodness gracious, you know, and it really caused an uproar in our community. And people started asking a lot of questions. And I had, you know, 270 people show up both in person and virtually to my presentation. It was kind of amazing. And that was what started this whole thing, because then people realized, well, Second Step, there's this paper curriculum, and I went and looked at the paper curriculum, but they never told me there was online videos. And so this brought this to light. And another parent and I went, this is the other problem with this, Ian, and I want to just bring this to light.
Yeah.
these curriculums are online and they're dynamic. So a lot of districts don't even have policies in place to deal with dynamic curriculum. First of all, the parents just can't log in and see them from the comfort of their own homes. They have to go into the district office during business hours, right? So any parent who worked wouldn't be able to do that. And actually get logged in my administrator and take a look at the materials. And this material updates every so often. And turns out the person who figured out that it updated, the responsive services director who was in charge of SEL curriculum, didn't tell anybody about it. So there was videos, the introductory video showed a BLM protest and a vigil from a school shooting, and it said that your parents come from this other generation and they don't understand what you're going through. And it was very anti-family. Another parent and I went into the district office for 30 hours just to review one grade of the curriculum, and we discovered all sorts of other nasty things. They talked about bullying and harassment through a racial lens, right? So they said that power and privilege was one of the three main social factors for bullying. And then they continued to show cartoons throughout the curriculum that showed white people in the position of the aggressor and people of color in the place of the victim constantly, you know. So of course, you know, children are going to make those associations. This was for the 6th to 8th curriculum, and they had it for K-8. And they also had a very heavy LGBTQIA agenda. So it started out, even in the K-5, it's, oh, you know, have empathy and take other people's perspective. And it's, you know, you have to just be kind to other people. And then their definition of empathy and perspective taking kind of changed over time. And I was even able to show in the K-5 how a lot of anti-racism and allyship websites particularly cite some of the same verbiage with empathy and perspective taking, walking in their shoes. They had this song they played almost every single lesson called Walk, 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 and it talked about walking in their shoes, talked about recognizing your blind spot. So they were grooming them even in the K-5 to later accept these ideologies. And then in the 5th grade, they changed the golden rule to not be, you know, do unto others as they would have them do unto you. It was do unto others what they want to be done unto. So you can see how that introduces, oh, well, if you don't believe there are two genders, you still have to use someone else's pronoun because that is how they want to be done unto, right? So all these different things kind of led up to what Stacy and I found in that middle school curriculum, and just really a lot of social justice activism, especially for LGBTQIA and racial, and, you know, had kids looking up terms like sexual harassment and you know, starting campaigns. I mean, I wouldn't want my kid looking up anything about sexual anything on Google. And then the most horrendous thing we found, Ian, was that there was 2 third-party links in the Second Step curriculum for 7th and 8th. It was rain2ends.org and loveisrespect.org. that violated Utah code in regards to sex education. So if they followed and looked up those, you know, for more information about healthy relationships, go to loveisrespect.org. It would give them information, 5 tips for your first time, revenge porn, what to do if your partner's blackmailing you. And then that website led to other websites like Scarlatine, which talked about how to have a self-safe managed medical abortion.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're sending 12 and 13-year-olds. So after that happened, after we revealed those links were in there, our community was really in an uproar at that point. Obviously, news organizations were interviewing us. It started to become, you know, part of regular conversation. And we kept showing up to the board meetings. And a couple board meetings ago, we had the whole boardroom filled into overflow rooms because that's how mad people wanted to get this program out. And I'm happy to report that as of a couple weeks ago, the board finally voted it out of our district. So we are now trying to find a replacement. But the problem is that all of these programs are trying to align their standards to Castle's. And so we're trying to get them to have a homegrown social, if they're going to keep social emotional learning in general, because there's a lot of other problems besides the indoctrination, that it needs to be a homegrown effort.
So, first off, where does this castle, and it sounds like castle and Common Core are somewhat interlinked. Where are these coming from? Are these from a DC-based agency? Where do these incepting?
This is all coming from the UN agencies, specifically UNESCO, who has kind of championed itself the person who's in charge of getting SDG 4, which is quality and inclusive education for all. They have a 2030 agenda, right? So they want to have those completed by that time frame. The real problem is like, what is the definition of inclusive? How are they defining inclusive, and how are they measuring it? And that's really where we're having a problem here, because what UNESCO wants is globalized citizenship education, right? So everyone to think about the world in a very specific way. So when you kind of think about having the government be in charge of instilling values, attitudes, and beliefs in your children instead of you as a parent, that's where we get into kind of Pandora's box territory, where, what government instilled values, attitudes, and beliefs do they want your child to have? And they want your child to believe that there are more than two genders, and they want them to believe in climate change so that they'll become climate change activists. And they want them to believe that, like Castle believes that racialized oppression was foundational to the establishment of the United States. That's a direct quote from them. So that's the problem with this UN agenda, is that it really takes the power out of the parents' hands in regards to what we want our children to believe.
And Lisa, I'll tell you, that is completely lockstep, if you will, and I'm using that word on purpose. That is completely lockstep with what Charlotte Isabet said on this program about 4 years ago. And you and I have had private conversation about Charlotte Isabet, and hopefully that is a connection that'll happen. But she said the same thing in regards to a program back in the 80s that got her fired from the Reagan administration. In regards to something called the betterment of education through science and technology. She said that's exactly what that issue was doing then in the 80s, was to get the parents out of the their children's education system. How is this being received? It sounds like the district, your home district, has now gotten this out. What about the rest of Utah?
Well, Second Step is used in quite a few other districts, although I've had whistleblower teachers and parents from across Utah contacting me about their SEL programs. Like I said, because of these, there is an agenda. It's not just in Second Step, it's in many other programs. And so we are hoping to be the first domino of many other districts who see the agenda. I mean, there really is a parent awakening going on right now across the state of Utah, Ian. The organization that I affiliate with, Utah Parents United, has like 20,000 constant contacts and growing. People are showing up, and people are showing up to board meetings in force and talking and educating themselves about what's behind these SEL programs. And there really is such a huge interest in, especially Utah. Ian, this state is incredibly religious, right? There's a huge LDS community. And also on top of that, they're very, because of that, family oriented. And so the fact that these organizations want to pit parents against their students and take parents out of the equation in regards to, I mean, Utah's fantastic with regards to policy. We really believe that parents are the primary educators of their children. And so it is being, people are listening. People are listening, and people are paying attention, and people are really pushing back against this. And we hope that we're able to at least help people to get these poisonous SEL programs out of their district, and then, come to a agreement as to what we're going to do for social emotional learning for our kids.
So, Lisa, I step back, and you followed the trail to Common Core and Castle to UNESCO and the UN, and I have to ask myself, well, what do these organizations care about American politics? But perhaps this isn't a political issue. Is there something going on here outside of politics?
Well, it really, unfortunately, yes. There's two agendas. James Lindsay's done some really great work on this recently. He's kind of pivoted away from critical race theory He's a scholar who's studied a lot about this. And I listened to some podcasts that he did recently on his show, New Discourses. And he specifically talks about how this all links back to really just the socialist feminist movement, right? Where everyone raises the child and the parents, you know, and there are no parents, right? Where there are no gender norms. Everything's blurred, right? Children have sexual rights very early. And this is kind of their unfortunate utopia where the village raises the child. And it's disgusting. What they're really trying to do is groom students early on into these comprehensive sex ed type of agendas, you know, where they're being exposed to things. And he even links it back to what we're finding in the libraries. I mean, there's a huge movement even here in Utah, finding a lot of pornographic material in our school libraries. And people are fighting us, unfortunately. You'd think that people wouldn't want that in their schools. So there's a sexual grooming component of it. And then the second thing is that there is along with the social emotional learning, there is assessments that go along with these, right? So Panorama does them, and the UN is even involved in this. There's an organization called the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and they're basically the assessment arm of UNESCO's SDG 4 initiative, right? Quality and Inclusive Education for All. So they're measuring the distance to the target, right, by 2030. And they have for a long time, since 2000, administered this PISA, Program for International Student Assessment Test, kind of basically measured cognitive skills. But recently in 2017, they came out with something called the Study on Social and Emotional Learning. And it's a very intrusive study, asked questions about your family and religious beliefs, your parenting style of your parents. It really dives into very personal information. And it's gathering it all. And you have to think to yourself, well, A, is it protected? And I can tell you that no, it's not. FERPA changed its definition of school official in some amendments they made in 2008 and 2011 to include third-party vendors who have access to this information for educational purposes. And we're going to put that in quotations, right? It's so that they could measure how well are we doing with our Common Core initiatives and, you know, they have these educational badges that they use in these online ed tech programs. Well, SSES will measure student social emotional learning score from preschool to age 20. And since FERPA does not protect that information, you have to ask yourself, what are they going to eventually use that for? Who, if anyone, had access to this information? And if their definition of inclusive is that you have to believe in climate change and there are more than two genders, et cetera, and your child doesn't believe that, will they eventually red flag them and blacklist them from not being able to get into college or not being able to get a job? And they even have students in high school downloading these programs like the Hero app, where you can report people doing good. They are basically leading these kids into a social credit score system. And what scares me is when I start to hear about ESGs, right? These environmental, social, and corporate governance scores where businesses are measured basically on their diverse workforce. Eventually diverse is going to be how emotionally intelligent or how high is your workforce's social emotional learning score. And will they get invested in based upon these factors, right? Or when you hear about Biden talking last year, he just talked about creating a federal credit reporting agency to rival the big three. And you can see where all of this is going, Ian, and it's a scary, scary place, right, where these students are being groomed to accept social credit score systems.
So it sounds like the UN, ultimately here, the UN wants to impose its ideology on America and take away what is the American ideology formed from its constitution. Talk a little bit about, Lisa, the leadership there from the governor's standpoint in Utah. And you mentioned the religious confirmation that the state has, and of course the impact and importance they put on families culturally in Utah. But something's a little different in Salt Lake, right? The politicians in the capital, are they conforming more with this UN agenda, if you will?
I think in our state and House legislature, I believe we have quite a few people who are very alarmed by this and want to change it, and I believe we're putting forth bills to try to do that in this next legislative session. But there are also some problems, right? Because our governor, I don't believe he's a true conservative. And in fact, quite a while ago when I uncovered all of this information, I met with his wife at the governor's mansion. And, you know, a lot of first ladies have initiatives, and hers was the Show Up initiative. And one of these four main areas she was focusing on was increasing social and emotional learning in the state of Utah. And so I met with her, I showed her all of the different ways these dangerous ideologies were coming through in the social emotional learning programs. And her response was not that of someone who would be alarmed by this, right? She said, well, my definition of social emotional learning isn't, you know, the same as yours. And I said, well, it's not my definition, it's Second Steps and Castle's definition of social emotional learning. And she said her initiative would be focusing on emotional intelligence, the thing I just mentioned, Ian, preparing workers for this global marketplace. And that is where they're going with all of this. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, are they naive or are they complicit? And one of the people that she's working with on her advisory board is Tim Shriver, who is the board chair and co-founder of Castle.
Wow. Wow, Lisa. So that conversation you had with her ended cordially, but what have been the impacts since that? And any type of sign that that there may be a change there, or does she seem to be pretty firm with Castle and projecting Castle throughout the districts in Utah?
Well, there seemed to be this consensus at the end of our conversation that definitions matter, and one of the things we brought forth. I'd come with two other individuals, and we'd kind of covered the gamut of the problems with social emotional learning. Was that social emotional learning is getting a bad rap in the state of Utah because of the work that a lot of us are doing. And if she puts forth that initiative, you know, we naturally wouldn't want it to have it reflect badly on her as the governor's wife if she's pushing something that has such a bad reputation. And so she realized by the end of our conversations that definitions matter, so maybe they just need to change the definitions.
And what would that possibly look like?
We'd have to ask her, but she obviously understands that there's a lot of awareness going around about what social emotional learning really is, and so. You know, maybe using other words, maybe that emotional intelligence word isn't so threatening, right? Because now people are, you know, we're not the only ones, Ian. There's people all over the nation that I'm talking to from other parent groups that are doing the same exact thing in their states. They're raising the alarms about Castle. They're, you know, coming to the board meetings and saying, look at what we're finding in these SEL programs. It's not just relegated to the state of Utah, but it's unfortunate because you think Utah's supposed to be a very conservative state. And even just recently with the pornography we found in the school libraries, we have the ACLU trying to sue our school district for pulling 9 books they found awful, awful imagery and language in. And we have our governor saying that Utah parents should pump the brakes on what he calls the censorship of these books. And people are calling us book burners when that's not what we are. We believe in the First Amendment rights, but pornography should not be in our school libraries.
Lisa, this is really unprecedented to even think that this type of information has made its way into the public education system. Maybe I shouldn't be that appalled. Let me step back here, and you keep mentioning social and emotional learning. What is in your view, why is it that this group, this Castle group, is so adamant about helping reshape the identity of the children. And how does that play into this this critical race theory? I don't know, what is it? What is it? Literature? I don't really know what it is. But how do those two parallel each other?
Well, you know, social emotional learning is, you know, really just five basic concepts, right? Self-management, self-awareness, responsible decision-making, relationship skills, and social awareness. And so they're using that social awareness component of SEL to really push critical race theory, right? So people want to be aware of their identities, right? Whether that be their racial identity, their gender identity. And it really feeds into Marxism, right? Because really the underlying thing under any of these theories, right, is that everything is a social construct, right? For the critical race theorists, it's race. For the Marxists, it's class. For the gender theorists, it's gender. So SEL really provides a great framework, right, when you're discussing identity with children to push this critical race theory and gender theory narrative, right? So I think that's kind of how they are pushing the critical race theory in. And again, it's just the SEL programs in general deal a lot with bullying and harassment. Even not even curriculums, you know, a lot of people just have health standards, social emotional health standards. You have to deal with a couple things like drug prevention, bullying and harassment prevention, goal setting, stuff like that. And so with bullying and harassment, it kind of fits nicely into that narrative, right? Well, why does bullying and harassment happen? If you do it through a racial lens, then you can say, well, because, you know, implicit bias. Everyone who's white, if you grow up in this institutional framework where you're supported because of your color of your skin, then you want to keep that around. And so you naturally have implicit bias and are racist toward people of color. And that's why they have to teach your children's social emotional learning in the schools, because if you're a white parent, you can't be trusted not to raise your kids to not be racist.
Lisa, you're in an interesting state, and you're talking about religious impact. What is the response from some of those leaders, those religious leaders in Utah, to this?
We did have a statement come out recently. I'm not personally LDS, but I know some people who are, and one of their, I think it's a president or elder, I don't know what they call them, but he came out with a statement saying, especially for the pornography and sex education in general in schools, that it should be the parents' responsibility to teach that to our children, not the schools. And so, I mean, I really wish, though, I would hear more pushback from our religious community. But like I said, even with the pro-family bent of the LDS religion, I think it's helped, because I think once you start throwing around that there are, you know, people out there kind of trying to corrupt their children, people get very protective. You know, a lot of these families have very strong bonds, and they're very protective of their children seeing pornography or being taken away from them and having their values, attitudes, and beliefs challenged by the school system. So I would like to see more as far as the religious community really coming out and saying, no, this is wrong.
And talk a little bit about communism. You've mentioned some of these communist elements to these programs. In a private conversation, you and I had mentioned Karl Marx and the writing of Das Kapital. Do you find that others that you're working with and that are aligning themselves with your fight also see these communist threads?
I think they do once you explain it to them. You know, I think people run away from some of these terms because they don't understand what they are. And so you kind of have to explain it to them. You know, Marxism, you know, says that, you know, you have to, you know, aim towards equal outcomes, right? So you have to redistribute the wealth and resources. So anytime you see that terminology, that is Marxism, right? And when you start talking about communism, I really like to bring in the terminology collectivism, because I think people understand that, and it's, you can see it happen in a lot of these SEL programs. I just had a teacher from a charter school in Utah County send me an exercise that they did, and it was pretty egregious. They, you know, put the chairs away from the middle of the center of the room, and the kids had to line up on this line they put in the center of the classroom. And based upon their answers to these particular questions, they had to move 3 steps to the left or 3 steps to the right. And I literally mean it was left or right in regards to the thinking of some of these questions. But, you know, did they agree with abortion? Did they agree, you know, do they accept that Caitlyn Jenner is now, was Bruce Jenner, now it's Caitlyn Jenner? So asking very personal questions, and they had to vote with their bodies, right? They had to move 3 steps. Like, can you imagine being a child in that circumstance where, you know, you're kind of looking to your peers, like, how are they voting? And I bring to light that is collectivism, right? We're trying to have people have group think, right? And it's about, you know, having the decisions of this, you know, like we're not thinking about the individual, we're thinking about the benefit of the group. And that's what's so dangerous about some of these ideologies, is that it's opposite, like what you're saying, of what America was founded on, which is individualism, and that all men are created equal, not that all men are made equal under our Constitution. And so I think that this whole push for equity and equal outcomes is right along line with communist thinking.
Yeah, I don't see how this would have any place justifiably in a public school classroom at all, putting this type of decision making on a child in front of their peers. It doesn't make any sense to me, Lisa. And it reflects on the state of, in my view, and this is why I do the work that I do, it reflects on the state of mainstream media. And that mm-hmm. We're getting away from facts. We're being divided based on opinion and politics. Absolutely. When we need to be unifying. You have some comments on that, maybe?
Yeah, I think if we want to really improve our students' social emotional health, we should get them off their phones and off of social media. It's, again, you're talking, it's groupthink. It's And that's the other thing, too, is that we used to be able to, as a society, Ian, disagree about subjects, right? And we just said, okay, well, you think that way about that subject, and I think this way, but, you know, you're still a nice person. You know? But that's not what the narrative is anymore. And it's like, if you don't agree with the status quo, then you're a bad person.
Right. Lisa... Yeah, one of the things that caught my attention here during this time with you is this app called Hero. So now people are being trained. Now these students are being trained to report report on somebody that's not aligned. Talk about that a little bit more.
Well, I believe there's, you know, the reporting on whether or not they see someone doing something good. But again, it could be expanded, right? This whole thing would be expanded to, it's getting them okay with it. It's normalizing this type of behavior, right? Where we're putting people into boxes, and we say, well, you need to believe this and you need to believe that. And if you don't believe it, then you're an awful person. And that's really what the goal of the UN agencies are, right? It's like, we have to have groupthink in order to have this perfect universe where everyone's working together, that you can't be a dissenter.
Right. A universal conformity. Nobody mm-hmm. can agree to disagree. Nobody can be the same. It's gotta be their way or no way.
Right.
Astonishing, Lisa. And I thank you for your time. As we wind down, I want you to tell listeners a little bit more about what's next for you. What do you have going? And of course, to leave listeners with some final thoughts. So please tell listeners what's next, how they can get a hold of you, what they can expect from you next.
Well, you can follow me at I Am Lisa Logan on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook as Lisa Logan. I'm a flag with a sunset behind it. And I post a lot about social emotional learning. You can find me there. But really, the next step for me, I think people are talking way too much about critical race theory without talking about the vehicle to which they're delivering it. And granted, in some districts and schools, they are specifically bringing in things like the 1619 Project and specific DEI initiatives that, which other people like to call them DIE initiatives, for obvious reasons, because it makes you want to die. It's horrible. But there's other places, like here in my little conservative state of Utah, where it's not so obvious. So I will not stop, Ian, until the fact that people understand that social emotional learning is a vehicle that they are driving to get some of these awful ideologies like critical race theory and comprehensive sex ed into our schools under the guise of something really nice. I will not stop until that is part of the national narrative. One of my goals is to find an outlet that will do an expose on this. I think, think of someone like Tucker Carlson Originals or a Glenn Beck Wednesday Night Chalkboard Session, where they really are diving into this material and exposing it for what it is. So that is what's next on the docket for me. I'm going to go on as many programs, radio interviews, podcasts. I really appreciate you having me on today to do that, fulfill part of that as well. But really, I just want it to be known that this is what's happening. And as far as, what I can leave parents with, and I always end all of my presentations this way, is that keep your family close. There's an amazing cartoon, a political cartoon that was done recently that had a wall and it had parents written on it. And on one side, it had a gentleman kind of, with a radio flyer type wheelie wagon. And it had books about critical race theory and Marxism and some comprehensive sex ed on it. And on the wall was a bunch of security cameras. And on the other side was a cradle. And really, parents are the things that stand in the way of these people indoctrinating your children. You have to keep your family close. Have those conversations around the dinner table. Warn them the dangers of a communist socialist state and really what that leads to. And talk to them about the benefits of a free market capital system. And just have those conversations with your kids. My kids are the best reporters of how indoctrination is coming into their classrooms. They'll come home and tell me, because I've taught them the verbiage to watch out for. And really just have to keep your family close and keep your kids close to you so that you know what they're learning at school.
Lisa Logan, ladies and gentlemen, Lisa, thank you for joining the program and thank you for the great work that you do. I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Thank you so much.
It keeps repeating itself. Ladies and gentlemen, Servando Gonzalez, he joined this program, I think it was January, I'm not sure what it was, but it's been over a year. And he said, Ian, he said, what happened? This is where you really need to broaden the view and the frame of mind that you approach your reality, meaning you approach the current state of the country that you live in, if you're in the United States. And if you're not, then you need to do the same thing. But you had a reference here on both of these shows, from my behalf, Servando Gonzalez, a Cuban-born historian. He's now Cuban-American. And he said, Ian, he says, what happened in Cuba was ran by the CIA, was developed by the CIA, and it's being engineered to happen in the United States. We're seeing that happen, folks. And if you, again, if you think that's far-fetched, please reapproach the way you're seeing the current state of your country. Just broaden that spectrum a little bit. Because here you have a mother of three, a leader in the state of Utah, a mother, again. And I've traveled the country for the past year, and it's the mothers across this country that are making a difference. The men are complacent, I'm telling you. I mean, men, you need to raise your voice. You need to join your wife. So you need to join your children at these meetings. You need to get involved. Yes, we all work hard. But if you're getting off work and going home and sitting on the couch and watching filth on the television and watching your sporting events, you are wasting your time, and you are accelerating. You are allowing this accelerated invasion of your country to happen. And you may not see it in your lifetime, but your children will. And the children right now are already seeing this filth invade the education system. And if you haven't looked at Charlotte Eiserbyt, A-S-E-R-B-Y-T, she's an early guest on my show, appointed by Reagan to be a lead advisor in the Department of Education. There's an interesting connection to her and Anthony Sutton. Her father was a Yale graduate. You have to. And this was back in the 80s. This was back in the 80s she saw this happening. Change in curriculum, that sort of thing. And now it's really, really accelerated. And I think in large part because Americans are waking up to this invasion. They are realizing the country has been invaded. Brigadier General Robert Spalding, PhD. Ian, the country's been invaded by a stealth enemy. What is that stealth enemy? And I think this episode here with Lisa is so critical because she's named it right there. She has named it. You've got Castle. You've got Common Core. They both lead back to UNESCO and the United Nations. So then, folks, because the United Nations did not exist in 1776, did it? I encourage you, go to my website, iantrache.com, click on the link that says, Remember the Alamo, read that article. I wrote it last week, it took me about 18 hours. It's all resourced, it's all cited. Look at that information, because folks, when did the United Nations come about? When did the United Nations form? Well, let's see, 1945. The same year, World War II, it was in the same year. Maybe I'm wrong in my dates. But what else is interesting is the Central Bank of China was also adopted that same year. So if the United Nations is a new concept, who's behind it? Is America behind it? Does the United Nations represent American constitutional values? Clearly, this agenda to re-educate to educate our children, being driven by the UN, if Lisa Logan is correct, and I've met her personally, I have no reason to believe or doubt her that her research is inaccurate. Because it aligns with the research that I've been doing for 5 years. Who's behind the United Nations? And that's where I implore you to please look at your history, America. Remember where you came from and what you were built upon. Because cornerstone of your country is religious freedom. So I ask you to broaden your spectrum on how you view the United States and all of the tumultuous conditions it's in right now and experiencing in 2021, vastly approaching 2022. Look, folks, look at the powers, the historical powers that the United States has been an enemy of. There you will find your money trails. And you can start right now by abolishing and cutting off. Hang it in the town square. I'm speaking hypothetically. The Federal Reserve Central Bank. Oh, yeah, but Ian, the Federal Reserve Central Bank was in existence 30 years before the United Nations came around. Yeah, well, the Federal Reserve Central Bank was created just before the Bolshevik Revolution. Right, right. So who are the controlling entities of the Federal Reserve Central Bank? Because it's a private organization, folks. That is a private organization, and I don't understand why Americans are not completely irate and up in arms right now, demanding answers. You're too complacent, America. You're comfortable. You're too comfortable. But that water is going to be really cold. That water is going to be really, really, really cold unless you wake up. Wake up means look at your history. Read. Stop watching the crap on TV. Stop throwing 4 hours of your day, like today, Sunday, watching the National Football League. All of these organizations have been infiltrated by this enemy. And the enemy wants nothing more than for you to be divided. Because united we stand, divided we fall, but you're not helping anything out if you're simply going along with the garbage and the filth. That you're not even being forced to feed it yet. Soon you'll be forced to eat off it. You'll be force-fed. Soon you'll be force-fed. Just like the Jews in Germany. So this is what I'm going to mention to you. And you have bright lights in this country. Those lights need to shine brighter. And if my words... If my words resonate with you, you need to pass this episode on right now. You need to talk to your neighbor. You need to talk to your coworker, whoever it is, about the work that Lisa Logan's doing. You need to join her fight. You need to pick a fight and join it. You need to defend your Constitution, just like gentlemen that joined me in the last hour. These are vets. These are veterans. A man that was shot in his chest defending your Constitution, Purple Heart. These are veterans that are being called terrorists, Michael, one of them, too. Because he won't wear a mask on a plane? Wow. Sheeple. I mean, that's the term, sheeple. People are blind. That's like zombies. It's a zombie apocalypse. People are just walking dead. Oh my gosh, those are all titles of recent Netflix shows, aren't they? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But this is where things are headed. So this is what I'm going to insert to you. Because I don't get religious. I don't care what your religion is. And I try not to really get political. I'm a constitutionalist. I want my freedoms. And I view my life and my existence as my freedom is whether I want to wear a mask or not and whether I want to get a vaccine or not. Okay? And I didn't realize, I started this because of the Zika virus in 2016. But this is what I'm going to get at. You need to look at the basis. You need to look at the foundation upon this country where it was founded. Plymouth Rock, 1620s. Okay, those are the earliest settlers from England that arrived here. Okay, this is why people are here. All right. I just got a text message that came through, and the message was literally the vaccine got my cousin. Someone else has died. Someone else just died because of this vaccination. Dead. There it is, right there. I got a picture of this person. Unbelievable. That was a text that just came through. I see it. You hear the ding. Ding. That was it. Somebody just lost their cousin. Somebody's cousin just died because of the vaccination. So-called vaccine. Not even a vaccination. It's not a vaccination. It's an injection. It's an inoculation. According to protocol number 10 of the learned Elders of Zion, which many people think are the Jews. Oh, yeah, no. No, these aren't the Jews. The Jews, and I'm going to tell you, Jews just happen to be, I've lived a few decades on the planet, and the Jews have typically always been my best friends. They're just who they are as people. That's me. No, this is not. The Learned Elders of Zion are not Jews, folks. They are not Jews. And if you listen to Eric John Phelps, you realize who they are. And this is what I'm trying to help you understand. You have to look at the history. 250 years is a blip. It's a blip on the screen of history. Rome's been around for 2,000 years. Okay? And some of these Chinese cities, of course, you know, the Chinese historically, that's why I don't, you know, this isn't a Chinese invasion. I disagree with that. The Chinese are not that type of person. The Chinese built a wall. It took them 400 years to defend themselves from people invasions like the Mongols. They wanted to keep to themselves. Oh, no, I disagree with that, Ian. Really? How long have the Jesuits been in China trying to convert the Chinese to their religion? Hundreds of years. Correct. Yes, correct. That's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. And that's why you have to consider Sun Tzu. So it's translated by a French Jesuit. Was Sun Tzu even a real person or even a real character? The Chinese were coaxed into World War II specifically. You know, there was world wars through the central bank, the settlement. The Chinese are coaxed into these wars just like the Americans were. America had no reason getting involved. The only reason the United States got involved in both of those wars was because of the ties through the Central Reserve Bank, the Central Reserve Bank, which roots back to the city of London, controlled by the Rothschild. That's the only reason the United States got involved in those wars. Absolutely only reason. The United States had no reason getting involved in any of these wars. These ridiculous bankers' wars. Iraq, Afghanistan, I apologize if you're a veteran. Okay. I never joined the military because I always thought there was something funky going on there. Okay, I just thought it was in my early 20s when we lost those lives in Manhattan from 9/11, and innately I was going to join the Marines. I was going to drop bombs. I was going to kill people. But I thought, hold on a second. That doesn't resolve anything. Yeah, you know, physical conflict is very weak form of mental processing. It's weak. It's a weakness. Okay, you can debate. That's civilized. But physical conflict? Now, I'm the first supporter of gun rights. Okay, I support your right to defend yourself. Just like I support your right to vaccinate, get the vaccine or not. But that's got to be a right. You can't allow a tyrannic government to force that on you. That's overstepping the line there. Okay, so what I was going to mention here is you take into consideration, yeah, she's dead. This person is dead. I don't know what the history is. Recently vaccinated and now dead. A text just came across. You want me to send you the message? I'll take a screenshot. I'll send it to you. Just reach out to me. IanTrottier.com. TROTTIER. This is the thread. This is the common thread. And I want you to consider this. And again, read on my website, Remember the Alamo. The common thread here is the elements of the former Roman Empire. You have to take that into consideration. Please do it. It'll blow your mind. When you conceptually allow it to grab your mind and your thoughts, your jaw will drop, because you'll say, oh my gosh, it's the same enemy. It is the same identical enemy that the pilgrims left England from. And what is that enemy? Well, that enemy are the controlling banking entities over the city of London, because William the Conqueror was unable to conquer it in 1066. It's Roman. It's medieval, according to Roland Palin, end quote. On this show, he said that. He teaches economics in London. It's medieval. Wait a second. In so much that the queen or the king, the monarchy, reports to it. And I've had David Icke on this show. I've had Andy Thomas on this show. Tony Gosling. These are all British people that are trying to spread the truth, if you will, in England. But the British, the British love their monarchy. Oh, they love their monarchy. Well, we don't have a monarchy in the United States now, do we? Or do we? Am I misunderstanding? Are we controlled by a tyrant? Oh, yeah, and the queen's not a tyrant. All right. You know, look, I just mentioned to you that the queen does not control her government. She is controlled by the City of London. That's a fact. That is a fact. The Queen reports to the City of London, and she must ask permission to enter it. That's a fact. Fact, 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 fact. So this is what I'm going to insert here. This is what I'm going to insert. I mean, what is going on, the work that Lisa is doing blows my mind. Like, because I don't have any children, all right? I don't have any children. And so I'm not in these meetings, per se. I'm not seeing what these kids are being fed, the crap they're getting fed. It's coming from the UN. This isn't American. And that should be appalling to you. And specifically if you live in California or New York, that should just appall you. That the United Nations has that control over your country's education. You should be irate right now. So, this is what I'm going to mention. According, I have to get the, actually, you know what? I've written to the guy. He hasn't gotten me back. But according to someone connected somehow or mentioned to Eric John Phelps, who I've now mentioned twice, and he's a former guest on this show. Das Kapital was written by financing of Frederick Engels. They had been kicked out, Marx had been kicked out of Germany. And this is what will open your mind. This is what will open your eyes. Karl Marx was tutored by a Roman figure. And that name is Peter Beck. B-E-C-K-X. Peter Beck. Peter Beck happened to be the general of the Jesuits. This is a military order, ladies and gentlemen. It's a military order. And Peter Beck's, from my understanding, prove me wrong, tutored and helped Karl Marx write that book. What does that say to me? It says, ladies and gentlemen, that the Vatican, under the guise of religious, or their religion, is controlling. Quite possibly. This is simply what I'm asking you to consider, the education system in the United States. And if you add up the money links, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. You know, you paint this, it's warfare. It's a bioweapon. Dr. Peter McCullough just mentioned on this show a few days ago. This is a man that has 51 peer-reviewed medical publications. Incredibly well-credentialed. He said it. He said this COVID-19 is engineered in the laboratory. Do not think for a second that there is not an entity, a European-based entity, that has been designing on a very sophisticated level an invasion to destroy the United States of America. That is called conspiracy. And I'm telling you right now, it's no theory. It's happening. Don't begin to save your country. You will lose it. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week. Thanks for tuning in. Share the program. Thanks for your considerations. Prove me wrong. But if you do nothing else, then share this podcast, share this episode, tune in to me next time, follow me on Instagram. Go to the research tab, because I spent 5 years doing this for you. And go to the research tab, look at the literature that I've compiled. Go through it. Study it. It's all accessible for free. Okay? There's no charge. And support these independent shows like this. Turn off your mainstream media. Turn it off. Till next time. Be awesome.